we find is that the conditions that have put forward the situation in Puerto Rico are a combination of colonialism, a combination of a U.S. government that doesn't care about Puerto Rico, and the fact that many corporations are actually running our country. And those corporations have, in many ways, taken advantage of the situation that Puerto Rico has. And I think the important part about this, and the part that people should know about this, like, Puerto Rico is maybe the biggest and the best example of what happens when capitalism has no restrictions and there's no way of controlling it, because this is happening in Puerto Rico as an island to 3.5 million people. But when you look at Detroit and Chicago and other places, this is happening in smaller scales. And this is not bargain hunting. This is actually predatory practices that are destroying communities so that people, very rich people, can become richer.
That was Julio Lopez Verona, the founding organizer and then the outgoing director of Make the Road Connecticut, and an activist with the group Hedge Clippers, talking with Counterspin about Puerto Rico back in January of 2018. And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find shows and transcripts on FAIR's website, fair.org. The show's engineered by Erica Rosato. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to 90.7 KBOO Portland. You are listening to Bread and Roses Radio, feminist news and affairs and music. This is Lady Monte. I'll be hosting this episode. Today is June 1st. We're getting into summer here in Oregon a little bit, a little spring, a little summer, a little cloud, a little sun. That's how it goes. That's life. But what is important about today is that it is a day of action to prepare for tomorrow, which is June 2nd, otherwise known as International Sex Workers' Rights Day. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I've definitely got some opinions on that topic. I've got a friend in the studio with me, and we are going to be playing some pretty cool stories that I found on the SoundClouds. My favorite thing as a millennial right now. The SoundClouds is a Sweat Voices, and Sweat is an advocacy organization in South Africa that aims at supporting and decriminalizing sex workers there. So we'll play a little bit of that, and we'll come back after some of these things that we do for business. Or, I don't know.
Cabo Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Crossing by Reza DeWitt at the Shoebox Theater in Portland. Crave Theater presents the Portland premiere of Crossing by the South African playwright Reza DeWitt, directed by Sarah Andrews, May 18th through June 3rd. This ghost story contains strong feminist undertones and dares the audience to consider the power of choice. Again, that's the play Crossing, May 18th through June 3rd, on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. It will be performed at the Shoebox Theater, 2110 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence features over 30 community-built projects happening all over Portland, including the Mudbone Community Farm, Sherritt Square, and Portland University. Additionally, there are also ticketed evening events featuring speakers and local musicians. Again, that's the Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
bite in. You can bite into that. We're back. You know what? Being a femme is crunchy AF sometimes. How do you feel about that?
Being a femme, yeah. It gets crunchy. It gets spicy. People are a little salty about it.
A little vinegar. A little salt. I get a lot of salt and vinegar because of my femme. I really do.
It intimidates people. People get intimidated by the confidence of the femme.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What should I call you on air?
You can call me Ariel, which Ariel. Is my name that the government knows me by.
Can I tell you something?
Right now, sure.
when you asked me that question and you were like, oh, everybody else is going to be using their real names and stuff like that, I was like, what do you want my real name for, Ariel?
And your social security and your blood type.
And I still didn't give you my last name. I just gave you my first two names.
I like it. I think it's interesting, when as artists, we get the option to be, whoever we want to be. And so I like to keep that option open for people when they're going to present their art.
Cool. How are you doing today? You running around a lot or what?
Running around a lot, getting ready for the show tomorrow.
What show is this?
Yes. It's called Day to Day.
Yeah.
And it's an art show that will be happening in North Portland, off of one block north of Mississippi, 3903 North Michigan. And it's an art show to support photographers in our community, local community here, poets and stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
And it's just the essential idea is to celebrate art that artists have the creativity with them on a day-to-day basis. So yeah. this is everybody's art that just comes out naturally, and I have invited you to come.
Oh,
and you said yes, so don't back out. I mean, you still have 24 hours.
Can I tell you, I've been practicing in the mirror with my hairbrush. I've been on the back porch. I've been making my roommates listen to my poems. I'm very excited.
That's great. Yeah, we'll have at the beginning we'll display some photos, and then we'll do from 5:30 to 7:00 we'll do the poetry, which yourself is going to be involved in, and then from 7:00 to 8:00 we'll do some stand-up comedy, and we'll have music before and after.
Cool.
But what's really great about yourself and the poems that you have going on is that some of your poems are in line with talking about sex work.
Yeah.
And tomorrow is International
Sex Workers' Rights Day.
Rights
yeah.
Day, which is so rad.
It is really rad. I like all these things are coming together. Like, yeah. I got that poem ready. But yeah, here's a little bit. It's a blurb I found on nswp.org, which is National Sex Workers Pride .org. And here's a little bit of history about National Sex Workers Day. On the 2nd of June, 1975, approximately 100 sex workers occupied Saint-Nizier Church in Lyon, France, to express their anger about their criminalized and exploitive living conditions. On the 10th of June at 5 o'clock, the church was brutally raided by police forces. This action sparked a national movement, and the day is now celebrated in Europe and around the world. Around the world, it's broken off into, a movement, I think, especially in places where people realize that there is an undercurrent to sex culture. It's not just what you see in the sex shops. It's not just what you see in the strip clubs. It's not just what you see on TV and in fashion. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
And there's been a movement to support sex workers in an effort to stem the flow of human trafficking, to stem the flow of abuse on women and femmes who work in this industry. And so in the Asia Pacific, Project X is collecting quotes and stories from sex workers and allies in Singapore, one of the huge sex trafficking cities in the world, where there's not only government run, actually, like institution buildings where
it's like a mall for sex workers, right? Mm-hmm. And tourists go there. And one of our colleagues here in the station just got back from Singapore and told me about this one building called Four Floors of Horrors. And it's actually ran by the government with legalized prostitution and advertised as a tourist attraction, which is, you know, I think as far as the criminalization or decriminalization of prostitution might be a good step, but this has gone two steps forward and it's made it into an industrial thing. Like, can you just imagine, you know, the problematic issues of creating a tourism around female bodies and what females have available.
The advertisement in general is a little... I'm not really for that. The whores, which kind of insinuates to me that there can be dangerous and abusive activity towards these sex workers. Just doesn't give you a... It's not very friendly advertisement.
You know, well, the original protest in 1975, it was explained to me by somebody from the French culture, is that, you know, French and a lot of Latin-rooted cultures in Europe are extremely misogynistic, so much so that it's built into the language, very patriarchal language and gender divisionary and subjugating to women within language, like always diminishing and something as petite, if it's, you know what I mean, and stuff like that is associated with female. But, you know, it's such a double-sided coin, you know, like hidden and hidden and seen, that every sex culture is so permissive in France. You know, there people have lovers, people actually go to brothels and they utilize prostitution, but for some reason the culture does not permit it to be out in the open and celebrated. And so there's this extreme subjugation of women, and that comes through the association of them being whores, not workers, and it's their work not being legitimized. So Project X is working on that in Singapore under the hashtag Listen to Sex Workers. You can find really cool stories on the Twitters and the Instagrams. Also in Cambodia, Listen to Sex Workers in Cambodia. Here in Europe, there's a photography exhibition in Spain where, you know, prostitution has been legal for quite some time. And there seems to be a much healthier culture around it. It's legal as long as it's being sold outside of someone's personal house. And so you have that traditional, you know, madam house situation.
Outside of the house?
In the house.
In the house.
In someone's personal house, you can sell prostitution.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's see what's going on. There's lots of things happening in North America and the Caribbean. I'm looking at that website right now. New York, there's a march at Christopher Park. In Chicago, Daily Plaza Chicago Loop at the Picasso sculpture. Oakland and Bay Area. Tomorrow at 12 to 4 at Oscar Grant Plaza, 14th Street and Broadway in Oakland. Bring signs and friends. Wear red. I'm wearing red today. It's Red Fawn Friday. And let's see what else is. I saw something happening in Seattle too, which is a little bit closer to home.
Yeah. People from Portland could.
Yeah, I was surprised I didn't see anything in Portland.
At the event tomorrow, you know, we gotta have that open mic portion specifically.
Yeah, we got to.
Workers' rights.
Yeah, in Seattle, 2 to 5 p.m. Funeral for the death of a safe worker on IWD at Merchants Cafe, organized by SWOP Seattle. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked to actually be talking about these issues, because prostitution has been around for so long. And I don't even know if it's prostitution, unless you want to apply the concept of prostitution to so many other things that we exchange that we exchange with each other for social favors or support. You know what I mean? It's not prostitution when a man takes care of his family, and you know what I mean? It's not prostitution when somebody hustles on the street or does odd jobs. It's just regular work. And so if we as a society are going to view a woman's sexuality and her sexual expression as something valuable, then when she expresses it to you in exchange for money, we should just call it work and say thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
Thanks for the art. Thanks for the meal.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, intimacy, sexual intimacy, whether that is touching or talking or cuddling or actually, you know, copulating or whatever, you know, whatever the scope is, it's all under that category of sex work, yeah. Which some people don't even realize. They think that it's, you know, lying down in bed with somebody, and it can be so much more than that, and feed areas for people that are missing things, yeah. Or just want that fun, yeah. Or just, you know, it's a great industry for sure, and we need to protect our, yeah, workers and make sure they're safe, yeah. And
well, you know, and it's not just, you know, I'm so happy that you mentioned all those different types of levels of sex work and connection, because really separating a woman from her genitals is what leads to the objectification of women in their roles and leads to laws that control women's bodies or femmes' bodies, vagina's bodies, mm-hmm. or people's genitals. How about we, yeah, just say that? Like, everybody's sexuality is, yeah, controlled by, right, a statehood and a medicalization and an industrialization of ourselves and our existence. And you could call it whatever you want to. You can call it heteronormativity, you can call it patriarchy, you can call it whatever.
Let's call it all of those things. Let's call it like it is.
Yeah, let's call it like it is. But the thing is that, like, skin to skin contact is good, and it's good for you. It's proven scientifically. It increases dopamine levels. It, like, relaxes people, eases, yeah, anxiety. And, you know, that shouldn't be controlled by some outside force, whether it's religious or cultural. I feel like if there's an unlimited resource, as there is, mm-hmm, of human bodies, like, right, we should be able to exist in a culture where none of us go thirsty.
Right. What are your thoughts on tourism to Portland specifically, as we're, you know, the strip club,
yeah,
city?
You know, I've had little to no engagement with the sex industry here in Portland so far. Mm-hmm. I've had some. I moved here, and then, mm-hmm, I got invited into the spaces as a guest, basically, and I'm very shy and new, and, like, oh, this is a new experience for me, mm-hmm, but, you know, I went into a sex club, and, mm-hmm, I saw things for me that were both, you know, exciting and liberating, but also extremely troublesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been into strip clubs where I felt totally empowered and, like, happy to, you know, oh, shout out Kayla J, because you always are rapping in the strip clubs, and I love supporting the women and the rappers, yes, at the same time. I will always go to a rap show at a strip club. But yeah, so there's really good and bad sides to, right, both of it. Like, I loved going to the Rose City Strip Club to support, like, a female rapper, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And supporting the messages that they talk about in their songs about, like, pay, right, the women for their work. Like, you know, that's not just a body. That's, like, her money. That's her, you know what I mean? That's her product. Definitely. All the things, and to respect the work. And so I go in and do that, but I also have spoken with people before whom have either been colleagues or friends and worked in the industry and just, yeah, heard stories about how damaging it is, mm-hmm, on just other multiple levels that I haven't been able to relate to. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of colorism in the, mm-hmm, sex industry here in Portland, because it's a, mm-hmm, very white-centric city, and, mm-hmm, there's, you know, just so many issues like that come from a place of commodification of women's bodies and disregard for their safety and humanity, really.
Definitely. I think that one, growing up in Portland, that since we have so many, not so many, but we have strip clubs around, it's, mm, kind of, it's a, you know, working class job that's here, that's, you know, I think more acceptable here than in different parts of the world and areas of the United States, yeah, specifically. And my experience is that in Portland, there's a specific etiquette that locals definitely follow with, as far as safety and just respect, as far as, like, always tipping, regardless, of course, if you're there for the, yeah, drink, being respectful, not touching, mm-hmm, things of that nature. I find a lot of tourists who come in here and they're just a little out of line because they don't know, like, the proper etiquette of being in a club. And at times that is the responsibility, I think, of security. So depending on where you're at, sometimes you do see like the security not necessarily keeping a great eye on the workers, which is something that I would like to see more of.
Yeah.
And then another thing that about you're talking about colorism in the industry in Portland, the basically the only like mostly black strip club that was in Portland was closed like most things in North Portland.
Dang.
You know, a few years back, and that was, you know, that was a blow to the people around who are, you know, who are trying to make a living here. So I feel you on all of the above.
That's a bummer. You know, and so the tourism thing, it's hard. Because, I mean, look what's happening in Bangkok. Look what's happening in Singapore. Look what's happening in Rio.
Well,
there's trafficking involved. And that's
here
what I'm
too.
Of course, here too. And that's what I try and tell people.
The Olympics, when the Vancouver, BC, when they had it here, they estimated over 10,000 people were human trafficked coming from the West Coast all the way up.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying and disgusting.
So it's coming right through your neighborhood.
It's coming right through your neighborhood. And that's what I wish people would realize. You know, and they're like that. So many people are like that in Portland. About everything. It's just like such a vacation city. Oh, love. I'm going to a brewery. Let me hop on a bicycle. And now I'm going to a sex club. And the weed's legal. It's basically like Amsterdam, but in America.
Right.
No. Here's what's happening. Do you see all these things? Do you see all the pot clubs? Do you see all the sex clubs? Do you see all this? That's literally that's the iceberg principle. That's 10% of what's really there.
Right.
And what the 90% that you don't see is unseen for a reason. You're looking at this heavy, heavily regulated, heavily visible and advertised industry with lights and with fancy bougie stuff and with exciting things and that and that. You think that's not a distraction tactic from people who are making the real money and the real movements within those industries and within those contexts?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've already seen what happens with the weed industry in Oregon and how much of that money gets funneled into KKK and white supremacy projects. Now we're talking about the sex industry, how much of that is going towards facilitating human trafficking, how much of that is going towards child pornography. I just moved to a new neighborhood. I was about to go into a bookstore and I was just at the ATM talking to my roommate. Guy walking down the street, he's been in the neighborhood, he's like, don't go in there. Dark web, child porn, bestiality, all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, I see. Okay. I'll just have to put it on the list then.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow.
So it's incredibly troublesome for me. And
in your neighborhood. It's in our neighborhood.
I support sex workers. I support dancers. I support sex shops. I support like the art of sex and it being liberated and appreciated and empowered for what it is. But I hate it that there's this disgusting industry around appropriating it from its natural state. I hate that.
Right.
And that's insidious and it's everywhere, just like everything else about appropriation. Like, it's gross. Like, I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, so let's have legislation protect the people who are doing sex work for the right reasons.
Uh-huh.
And so that we can, you know, really shine the light on, you know, focusing on criminalizing people who are doing child pornography, all these terrible things. Like, you know what I mean? So that we can focus on having the people who should not be in the underground having, you know, being respected in the work that they're doing, and then, you know, having
So what kind of things would you like to see? You mentioned the security in the strip clubs. What do you think another positive change could be made within the strip club industry here in Portland, which is just like, I think, the easiest thing to talk about in Portland? Like, we could talk about human trafficking and that and all that stuff, but there's no easy solution. But in buildings where they sell liquor, and that's, you know, regulated by the OLC, and they also have gambling. And they also have, you know, sex exhibition with older women. All of these things are regulated.
Right.
What kind of things can we do, and what would you like to see to create a more positive environment? Like, it's really easy to regulate the gambling and the drinking, but for some reason, the weirdo creeps that come into these clubs are not easy to regulate. You know?
Yeah, like you're saying, pointing out about the security in general. I know that most strip clubs that we go into are dark, you know, there's no windows, and that's obviously for a couple of reasons. It's for the women's privacy, so because they're making money off of the viewing of their bodies,
right?
So
right.
You know, you don't want to have people getting a free sneak peek.
Yeah.
Then also I think about how we created these hubs and how maybe they're just right now they're just not, like, we need to take it to the next level with them, making them more front, like more friendly, more open, like you're not like high person in the corner in the dark, like we know can't be like you can't be just a little bit more friendly, a little bit more lighting, a little bit more not so that we are you know, we're not shunning or trying to hide away from the work that is happening, you know what I mean, creating a space that is that has good vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand some people come to go play the lotto, have fun with your lotto, have your drinks, do your thing. But, you know, security's there. The girls are there. The guys.
I feel going to the sex club should be like going to the coffee shop or the supermarket.
Right. Let's kick it up.
Like, can I get some chips over here? Like, can we turn the lights up? Like, is that Spice Girls? Yes, I love that song.
Kick it up a notch for the. And you know, I mean, I mean, if you go backstage in like the dressing rooms, I don't know, like maybe these owners just need to kick it up a little bit, make it a little bit more personalized, make it a little bit more comfy. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I'm a Leo. I got Scorpio moon.
Yeah.
And I'm born year of the dragon, 1988. So like a lot of my instincts revert into like ferocity, right? Mm-hmm. And I get protective really quickly. And so beyond beefing up security or making security better, mm-hmm. I want to see people like actually caring about the women in their working environment. I want to see people health standards. How about, you know, fitness and sleep and stuff like that? Like, are you getting a break time right now? Like, you need to be taking a break. Like, mm-hmm. all these things, like.
Absolutely.
All these things, like just maintaining the health and quality of life of people so that they can continue to earn money. Because, I mean, they talk about that. They talk about the sex work industry being a window for women. And like, mm-hmm. what kind of trash is that? Like, sorry, your value to earn money in the society is only for a little bit of time.
My question is, and I don't know 100% what's going on nowadays, but are strippers getting an hourly wage?
Oh,
because aren't they just working for tips? That's how I've always known it. Now, let's talk about getting them on that hourly wage plus tips.
Union. Oh, wait, no, I didn't say anything.
You're
sorry.
So funny. There you are, like, kicking up a notch.
Sex workers union. But who said that?
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, people tip their baristas $1, right? For their $5 drink.
Yeah.
What happened to tipping the gas attendant who is outside, you know, pumping your gas $1 as well? Or, you know, you go into the strip club for the drink, like the stripper's there, like, you know what I mean? Just being more aware of that.
Yeah.
That culture.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So the hourly wage. The hourly wage is like huge.
Something.
It's huge.
On top of it.
And I've never danced on a stage before for money. So this is not, I'm purely speculating, and I might be extracting too many of my own personal experiences and projecting them into what I've noticed about this industry. I kind of do that sometimes. Yeah. I'm very fantasy oriented.
Well, I have never, and not to say that I maybe won't ever, but will not now. I haven't. Never as well. I've never been a dancer.
Yeah.
But I have people who are been my caregivers who have been dancers, and they supported me on that and on that livelihood. And so from just growing up in that industry, there's a lot of closeness and a lot of people there to support one another. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, at all. I just think that there can be better working conditions. For everyone, including the security, including, you know, the dancers. I don't know. I've been to a few of the strip clubs around here, and I'm just so glad that they're just staying in business.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest thing. I rather see maybe a little bit more of a grimy, maybe a sticky floor or something versus no, you know what I mean? Versus no a place of work at all. Have but you, definitely not one with like bad ethics or know, something where they're abusing or so their workers. Or
well, that's
like
interesting.
That,
something I hadn't thought of. Have you noticed businesses closing that are that are supported? Well, you mentioned
are
the
we
one
allowed
in
to say
yeah
what businesses who've closed?
Well, yeah, you mentioned the one in North Portland that was a primarily POC.
Do you know? Can we say the name of it?
Of course, yeah.
Exotica.
Exotica,
which is off of MLK, and is it Columbia or Lombard? Maybe it's right back. Yeah, that one closed. That was that was a lot of people of color. They were in there working and.
Wow.
I went there right before they had closed, and it's nice. It's definitely, it was nice to be in an atmosphere like that. Attending some of the different strip clubs around town, I just don't see a lot of that supporting women of color. And I don't know if it's because women of color here in Portland do not feel safe to be in other establishments.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, and that
because when Exotica was there, there were brown and black, you know, and you know, people of color there working. But I have not witnessed that in other facilities as much. So I'm like, I feel like that was the safe spot.
Yeah.
For workers, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that was Portland. Definitely. I've only been to one strip club so far in Portland now, and like I said, it was for Kayla J's show.
Mm-hmm.
There was one woman of color. Dancing.
Yeah.
Me and my roommate made sure to tip her double. We were like,
yeah, thank you.
Of course, right? Like you have to balance the scales. You look around and you're just
ridiculous.
Like, this doesn't seem appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. Lack of places where people can earn an income.
Right.
Where do you think that market is going to with like the closing strips, with the closing strip clubs? Like where are the workers going? Where are the dancers going? And then where are the customers going?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
We can only leave that to the imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, people still have to work. What are they doing? What is their chain? Where is their income coming from now?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to think about. But anyway, yeah, so if you're listening to this and you're involved in the industry, we support you. You can call into the radio station. It's 503-231-8187. We'll try and answer your questions. If you have a comment, I'll try and put you on air. I'm not really sure of the process, but maybe someone smarter than me is around or something. And for now, I'll just turn up a little bit of these tracks and we'll go into those sweat stories, stories from sex workers in South Africa.
And one is 25 and the other one is 20 years old. Sex worker. I used to go around on ship fishing boats. For 20 years I've been in the sex industry, and it's very hard because I had a child when I was 16 years old, and I put both of my children to school. They finished school without a husband or boyfriend, all by myself. Yeah, all by myself. And I'm quite proud of myself because they finished school and they got their good children. And my father was, no, they don't know what I'm doing because I was really discreet because I never used to stay with him. I used to go weekends to my mom, and sometimes I could pick them up when it's holidays so I can do my thingy privately.
Two boys, one girl. So abantwana bam baxhomekeke kum ndisiya endleleni ndiye labona into yoba ndifuna basurvive bangafani nam. So ndithatha iriski akuba ndiyathanda uthatha iriski phana nje uthatha iriski for ubomi bam ndiye nafor abantwana bam ndisiya endleleni nje because ndifuna ukuba nabo babe right bafunde bafane nabanye abantwana banxibe bafane nabanye abantwana bangahleleleki kwabanye abantwana and bahambe isikolo. So ndibashiya bodwa bobabini lo una 11 years nalo una 3 years and andibaxele lapho ndiyakhona cha ndithi ndiyabuya ndiyasamuwe ndiyozama into yoba nina mandilale nityile.
I'm a mother of two children. I give out my life as a sex worker because I just wanted to give my own children love. I found that it could be easy for me to support my children rather than other people to laugh at my children. I love my children so much. I respect their presence next to me. I do all the best to not even find out that I'm a sex worker. By being a sex worker, that doesn't stop me to not go to church. I still take my children to church and show them the love that I truly love them and I want them to follow the good way. By being a sex worker, it's not like I'm a dead woman. I did it because I want to support my family. I never liked my family to go and ask something outside. I tried my best and I worked hard to support them.
I'm a mother of five girls, but two are married and then I stay with three. One is 27 and the other one is 19 and the other one is 18. My grandchild is 11 years old. But they were very young when I was doing, when I started this.
So did you ever tell them as they grew up?
Not yet. Not yet. I can't. Not now.
One day.
I will never.
No.
And then if they will never even believe you if you can say that your mother is a sex worker. They will fight you the way they love me. I raised them. And they understand because they were there alone with mommy always. Because my daughter now, she's 18. The time I left their father, she was 3.5 years.
Mm.
You see? Just think of those years. It's long time. They see me alone with them, supporting them alone. And then I'm proud of that.
It's not something that I can say is difficult to be a mother and being a sex worker. It's all about self-discipline. You can discipline yourself as a mother and you respect yourself as a mother. You know that in the morning I'm going back home to look after my children. I cook for my children to go to school. I pick up their lunchbox, then I rest. It's all up to you to respect yourself and your dignity as a sex worker.
Now, if someone were to tell one of your children this is what you do, how do you think they would react?
On my side, the love that I gave my own children, I don't think that it will sound so bad to them. At this point of the time, there is nothing that my children, they don't have like other children. They do get, so understand that my mother, she's trying her best for us.
Andikwazi, andizukwazi umxelela. Andizukwazi sisitu. Qha mna ndizawuhlala ndiqhubekeke ndimondla uba yena aphumelele Kristu afunde abe rayithi afumane umsebenzi ajonge mna.
Ucingisana ngenyini mhlawumbe kube khona umntu omxelelayo angareacta kanjani kuloo nto yena? Angakuthatha njani?
Hey, but I don't think angandithatha apha ndikozoyithuma mam nokuloo nto beyenza beyenzela mna uba mandirayithi uba natata nguye umtata nguye umamam. So besiya apho abezamela mna into yoba mna mandirayithi.
So what would you say to your daughter if she came up to you and said she is not a sex worker as a mother?
I will try to speak out of it because it's very hard. You get raped.
you get raped, sodomized, and killed. And just the thought of maybe she can contract AIDS, HIV, and have unwanted baby from a rapist, maybe. It's scary. So I won't invite her to stay, to be a prostitute or a sex worker.
Okay. Because you can last for my client. And in last year, it begged me, I'm going to go to the school. Islam was a mistake. You tried to be a good one. You tried to be a good one. You tried to be a good one. You tried to ngibelela ngobungozi obulapho endleleni ngeke ngivumele umntana amabe yi-sex worker ngeke ndikwazi nolala noba ndingagula nyani kunzima kubuhlungu uba yi-sex worker but nathi siyafosa and mhlawumbi noba noqhela uba kubhetele mandiye ngoba ndiyayifumana loo malana endizokwazi ngomsu ukuthengela abantwana bam isoko yabo ayiba mhlawumbi siyathanda ubungozi obuphanje is dangerous to be a sex worker
because I can't.
Who can't allow your child?
No, I can't allow my child being a sex worker. Because there are things as an end of a sex worker, I'll try as much as possible to provide for the child. So it's not a good profession. I call profession a right.
When have you told your mother this is what you do?
I told you. Hayi andiyancinga ndikwazi asoze ukuthi ndimxelele hayi ngamke ayifind out eke kwenye indawo not ayixelele ube ndim andikwazi
I can't tell my mom. I think she will regret the first day she gave a baby to me. I don't want something that is gonna hate my mom because my mom, she's a sickly parent. She raised me up in a painful way. So I don't want anything that can hate your back. So I don't want my mom to know about that. Every sex worker is not like it's a bad thing. Some people, they might see it like a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. We are the mothers. We have got children. We have got families. They need our support. So we do all the best as mothers to support them and support our families.
Are you ready?
Hi, my name is Cindy. Mm-hmm. About approximately a year and a half ago, I was working in the Balboa area. It was roughly about 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. This car pulls up, a sexy colored guy, offers me $500. Get into the car, and he doesn't want to go park where I park. So he decides it's safer for him to park in Paro behind Sanlam Center.
Okay.
In the parking area.
Oh.
So obviously that is rather safe to me as well.
Okay.
Now we get to the parking area. Now he tells me he only wants a blow job for the $500.
Wow.
And I'm like, yippee, jackpot. Then he says to me, but he doesn't want to use my condoms. He's just pitching the condom from the boot.
Okay.
I said, okay. But he gives me my $500.
Okay.
I've got my $500. He fetches his condom, but I didn't watch him what he was doing at the back there. He gets into the vehicle, undresses his pants, and business starts. So as I was looking down, he slapped me with one of these black sticks that the police uses. What is that?
Oh, a baton.
A baton.
Mm-hmm.
So three shots here at the back.
Jeez.
And immediately two cars pull up beside us. It's about 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah.
And they all take out their cards, task force. And they take out a A4 size photo of me.
Well, okay, yeah.
Telling me that they now had enough of me doing sex work on the road.
And then what are they going to do?
And the factor that they don't have complaints of me, but I'm forever on the road.
Mm.
So, and they just started attacking me. I was out.
Physically or verbally?
Physically.
Sure.
Physically and verbally. I was knocked out thrice. Back to reality, out. Back to reality, out.
Are they trying to get you into the van? Or
no, they beaten me and these cameras, everything, because it's behind Sanlam Center shopping complex.
Okay.
Okay. So, the cameras has got everything there. Okay. Now, you see this car here, Mala? This car here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see.
It was right through. Right through. And they still take all of my money as well.
But like, what are they saying? They're
saying that they know I do sex work.
So?
But I always get away with them telling I don't do sex work. I'm allowed to walk in the business area at night because there's clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know my rights. Because of me knowing my rights, they don't pick me up easily or whatever like they do with other sex workers. Mm. So they had the task force come for me.
Jeez. But even then, they're not arresting you.
They're just beating me. They're just assaulting me to get me, because they could see they can't arrest me because of me knowing my rights. So maybe beating me would keep me away from the road.
Jeez.
I think that was the thing. And then this went on for 6 years, roughly about half an hour. Eh? You can just imagine
what
I
looked look like after
when.
And then,
but yet I got into a taxi, and I went to Paro Police Station, and I still have that CA car registration number.
Good.
And you know what? I laid it as I was laying the charge, as I explained to them, giving them the registration number of the car. Having the one's card that fell and I slipped it. He didn't even know that. You know what they reckon to me?
What?
It's none of their business, because what do I do on the road every night? I am a fucking sex worker. That was exactly their word. I must go to Balwa because the guy picked me up in Balwa.
Sure.
Then I go to Balwa. And Babel tells me, we don't want to hear no sex worker stories.
Sure.
So it's like, you know what's going on here. And it happened to another one again a few weeks later. Same thing.
So they set you up and then they beat you up.
Then they beat you up. Now, I'm getting the idea it was then to get you off the road. That was the time when they weren't, remember there was a time period when they weren't allowed to pick you anymore. That was then. That was then when we got that right way. They're not allowed to pick you. You can
so
walk
that was
in.
Their way.
That was then, yeah. So they had that implemented. Yeah.
Sure.
And nothing just came of it.
Even at the Bellville?
When I went to Bellville, Bellville told me, then I thought, I'm going to get nowhere. And I just.
And you had the injuries to show, you had
every
the
single, even
the
shopping center has the evidence.
Sure.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I just gave up. Yeah, I just gave up. I just thought to myself.
So did you ever go back to work around that area again?
Of course, the same night.
Okay.
I do not allow them to keep me away from my work. you know, I love what I do. I've worked hard, I've fought enough. So why do I, how can I give up now? I need to continue fighting.
Yeah.
I can't just give up. If I give up, who's going to fight?
Exactly. Huh? Cool, man. Is there anything else you want to add?
It's just that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about the elections. We're going to be talking about politicians, about parties, about voting. What are your thoughts around this?
We've been voting, and all this organization, they promising, but they never deliver anything that they promise us. And even these RDP houses they building for people for free, they're not worth it. Because you look at some other houses, they cracking, and the water leaking, and whatever, you know, everything, there's nothing right, actually. Voting, I'm sorry.
Me as an individual, yes, of course, there's nothing government put in practice, they keep on promising, but I will vote. As a citizen, as a sex worker, I know it will take time for them to decriminalize. We only need to stand up for on our feet, because if you need something, you go to it. It doesn't come to you. We still have that hope things will change. It's slowly.
To me, I want to vote because I'm not allowed to vote. But I will encourage my fellow brothers and sisters to vote, because a vote can bring a change. You cannot expect that if you take a politician today, gonna do everything. Things take a long time, like my friend say. So don't expect that if you take him to parliament today or to the council, he's gonna do for you everything. It's upon you to select the right candidate. That's what, according to my opinion.
Okay, why do you say you can't vote?
Because I'm not the citizen of South Africa. Yeah. And if I'm going to vote, if I was given a chance, I can advise people maybe to vote for DA.
DA in the bottom seven, come on, not up. That's how Sebenza. The right is a wood that's a comma process to win. Says our mapes to the snail on the bone and that color. Nancy Thompson, I'm about to tell you, DA on is a started in Kululek.
348 years. The years of oppression. DA was the oppressors. It was National Party. It changed to New National Party, and now the Democratic Alliance. It's still the racist people. I won't vote for my enemy. That's it. I hate DA. I'm sorry. I will stand for my ANC.
I think it's not about voting. It's about us. And like it's about us, it's about what we want and what we stand for. I think maybe DA is quite right, but he's got a... Pinelungelo lalo, ngolo shobo, lona libona ngaluba, ingalungisa njani na into ethile, ngolo shobo, uluntu lwabantu. So nam ndiyavuya nge-DA leyo, and ndivuya nje, nam ndifuna ilungelo lam, nam uba ndima pha endleleni kungekho polisi elizawuthi kume wethu, le ndlela ibhilonge kuwe, uba yona ifuna ukuba la veni yayo yena ithatha ifoto ngolu hlobo ithatha ifoto ngalo. So nam ndifuna ilungelo lam le-sex work.
To me, if you check their manifesto before we talk, because now people, there are a lot of political parties. We should check their manifesto. Let us not talk about the fact that they did what they did. Let's see that how far have they done since they got the power. So let us not judge that this is not nice.
Okay. Talking about the DA, was it not Helen Zille who introduced the vice squad, which ended up cleaning up the streets of Cape Town? In other words, taking sex workers off the streets and having them arrested?
Yes, it's absolutely her. And it's also Helen Zille who took people from the streets, put them in shelters, but still there are still people living on the streets. It's her who came up with this, as my friend just said now. The clubs must be closed at 2 and the shippings must be closed at 11 in the townships. So although she says she reduces crime, she encourages crime. You leave a tavern at 11. How about your life? What is going to happen out there? And then at the very same time, everything is high, everything is expensive. She's still racist, but she loses her racial terms in a polite and professional way. She will never change. I'm still saying it. DA
it's still National Party, they will never be together with us. So they win the power, we will be more than oppressed than 248 years before.
Okay, so and because of that, you're going to be sticking with the ANC.
Of course.
But now, are you happy with the way in which the ANC has been governing us so far?
Although I'm not happy, quite happy, but I won't allow a white person, I mean, I'm not racist, but that party to rule me. There was a state of emergency which came with the DA, so-called National Party. If you were walking on the street by 9 o'clock, you were got arrested those years. If you were in South Africa at that time, we were arrested. They used to punish us, and then they used to ask you who did what. Who were torturing whatsoever. I can't vote for oppressors, sorry. My brothers died and my sisters died. And my brother died of malaria. He was in exile because of this National Party.
Mna ndiyacela mna ndicela abantu makabayekele laa nto laa nto yakudala bathi ulo uHelen Zille waye amaphulo ayebulala abantu intoni nentoni. Makasicela ke sinikeni uHelen Zille lo siboneni kule minyaka nanana le azawube ephethe yintoni na azayesenzela sona yona kwaye mna sondivotele
human trafficking nimusi muthu obuza zorupfi una mushumo kule. Sane ndo to wana mungano wangambu za zori ndivutio shuma. Ndichesuka nda shuma mshumu wafe ilanga mrao. Ndabandisi na shode yo umiro nenda kufa wani. Mungano wanga asa mpe shode nenda kutio na miranga yo ndicheo nenda kufa wani.
Sehlopha sa banana ba Senekal le botshabelo province ya Free State ba fetuhetse lerato tataiso le tlhokomelo ba ifumanang ho batswadi ba bona mme ba phela bophelo.
Child abuse. Child abuse asi ya vhuḓi. U dzulela rwa vhana, no tambudza vhana, no vhafha mishumo minzhi minzhi nga tshifhinga tshithihi. No ṱwa ni khou raipa vhana, zwi wela kha child abuse. Ni wane khotsi ya khou vhidza ṅwana u mu vhidzela bedroom. Zwi pfi child abuse. Ṅwana asi ṅwana u tea u ongolaliwa nga khotsi yawe. No mu lengisa o dela tshi khou bva tshikoloni, u vha o neta. U tea u relax, a vhuisa maluvhi awe. Zwi wela kha child abuse na zwezwo. Na urwa tshikoloni nga vhadededzi zwi khou wela kha child abuse. A si zwavhuḓi kha ṅwana. Ṅwana u tea u fariwa zwavhuḓi a fana ṱhoḓea dzawe. Zwino ṅwana u tea u ṱhogomeliwa. Child abuse a si yavhuḓi kha ṅwana. Nomboro dzine vha nga ṱoḓa u pfhesesa vhuṱanzi khadzo.
Okay, everybody, this has been an episode of Bread and Roses. My name is Lady Monte. We had Ariel in the station today. They were talking about their event tomorrow, which is Day to Day, a photography exhibit. There will be DJs, stand-up comedy, and some spoken word poetry. I'll be there making a fool out of myself, hopefully not. But it's tomorrow, June 2nd, 4 to 9 p.m., 3903 North Michigan Avenue. I hope to see you there. It's going to be a great weekend. International Sex Workers Day tomorrow. Wear red if you can, if you got that in your closet, and show support for femmes. I'm wearing red today because it's Red Fawn Friday, and the way it was taught to me is, you know, red symbolizes the blood that runs through all of us, and I think it's a good color of solidarity. Thanks a lot for listening. Up next, Hard Knock Radio, news from a hip-hop perspective. You've been listening to Sweat Voices, voices of sex workers in South Africa.
And if not treating you, the kids and you, you can call Power for Help. These are the numbers, 083-765-1235.
Kebu Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pandit Ramdas Palsule Tabla Show on Friday, June 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Levin Community Center in Portland. Ramdas Palsule is an accomplished soloist as well as a versatile accompanist on the tabla who has performed widely in the eminent music festivals of India and all over the world. Again, that's the Pandit Ramdas Palsule Tabla Show on Friday, June 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Levin Community Center. 5431 Northeast 20th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We're celebrating KBOO's 50th anniversary on June 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society's Outdoor Plaza. Join us for music, fun, special guests, and bring a homemade birthday cake to share and help us celebrate. Bike to the party as part of our Pedal Palooza bike ride. The ride begins at 1 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8. Come ride your bike from our building to former locations of the radio station and end at the celebratory 50th anniversary of the very day we first switched on our transmitter and began broadcasting to and with the communities of Portland. Again, that's our 50th birthday party on Sunday, June 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the party and our history can be found at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
Happy birthday.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, news, views, and hip-hop.
This is Sister Soulja on Hard Knock Radio. Listen closely.
¿Qué pasa, raza? This is Deuce Eclipse, the Oi Joaquin, your parte chino. Check it out. Listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Hey, this is Patrice Rushen, and whenever I'm in the Bay Area and I need good information and